Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
Yeah, I want to say, before we bring Mark up, I wanted to just say a big shout out to, where's Jeff Brazier? Jeff, where's he at? Oh, there he is. Jeff, and Shay too, but Jeff too. Now, you know, the Braziers actually, who helped put this on today, is Jeff has been really the leader, and Jeff and Shay have been the leader in compassion and justice ministry from the very beginning. If you've never heard their story, you need to ask them about their story, because they came to a service here before they knew Jesus. A person from Rwanda began speaking. They seemed to couldn't stop crying, and we didn't know much of what was going on, and I'll give you the short version. But later on, not even really, I think I may have met you one or two, talked to you a few times. I got an invitation to a fundraiser at Kirkwood Brewery, and I went down there, and lo and behold, while they were in process of trying to figure out where they were at with Jesus, they went connected to a Bluefield Vineyard in Nicaragua and started a school. So I thought, I should get to know these people, right? And what's interesting, what I love about this, and I think you can correct me if you ask them, they say, no, David's got it all wrong. But the best I remember is this. What's interesting is that through probably the Bluefield Vineyard and the relational connection there, that's what helped them cross the line fully and say yes to Jesus. So that's a good way of doing it. So God may have something for you guys this morning that you just realize, oh, something goes to this deep spot. So I just want to say, let's give Jeff a big round of applause, because he's really been doing great. As he's, even through COVID, he's just kept pushing the envelope. We got to do some things. We got to do outreach. We got to do outreaches. And so thank you, Jeff, for doing that. All right. So I wanted to, now we're going to be introducing, and I'm going to have them come up here, and we're going to pray for both Mark and Joni. But, you know, before we do that, what I'd like to do is I'd like to just maybe just show a video, and then I'll come up and add a few things on. So if we could run that video, and then I'll come up and I'll do a little introduction, bring them up in a second.
Oasis International is an organization that reaches out to the new refugees that have come to our city. We did a lot of short-term mission trips, and then it's like the Lord just began to open our eyes to the nations that were pouring into our city, like about 20 minutes from our house. And we just knew that He was calling us to come to the city just to be a blessing and to help them.
Oasis International is really a safe place, a loving place for refugees to come and receive the things that they need coming to a new country.
We have refugees that come from about 40 different nations to St. Louis, very diverse city for the nations. Any place where there's been a war, that's what a refugee is. They are fleeing from a war or persecution. And so they've come from Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, a lot of African nations. Twice a week we have English class and citizenship class. We pick them up, we have four nurseries, we watch their children. We help them with furniture, household items, baby showers, and just really loving them and being a friend to them.
We want to give them things, the things that they need, but they also need relationship.
They've lost so much. They've lost their families. They've lost their country. They've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes. They had to flee their nation.
Joni and I will visit a refugee family, and we'll sit down in their living room, and they'll say, Mark, this chair, Oasis, this couch, Oasis, this table, Oasis, these clothes, Oasis. And then they say, but you're the gift. The people are the gift.
It's been a blessing right back to us, and it's increased our faith. We have seen God do miraculous things.
I can't even describe all the things that we get to see every day, just because we want to embrace these people that a whole lot of people don't want to embrace. Hands down, our biggest need is the church to come and be a part of our ministry we have called Good Neighbor. We try to connect an American Christian family with every refugee family. The statistic here in St. Louis is less than 10% of the refugees that come will ever be befriended by an American. We're trying to change that statistic. And so right now we have a little over 100 good neighbors, but we probably could use another 1,000. Realize you can't fix everything that's going on in their life, but you can be a support.
Wherever you are in your neighborhood, it's no accident where you live. It's no accident that he's bringing the nations here. So there's a reason for that. It's so that people will find God, because that's the deepest need that they have.
You know, with Mark back in 1989, he started doing like short-term missions. You get to watch it again. And there's in 12 different countries, and circumstances kind of put him back here. And in 2006, they started a refugee ministry, and they ministered like 6,000 different refugees each year, they're just connected all the way. In fact, what's interesting, what I love about Mark and Joni and Oasis is they understand it's way beyond what they can do. So they just, just to give an example, I was at two different other churches this week with other groups doing stuff. And both places I was at this week, completely different, one in Ferguson, one in Greentree here, they all were talking about Oasis. And so it's pretty much the whole church is just helping and diving in. And so I love how they love the local church. They understand it's done through the local church. And I love how they kept it this place, authentic relationship. And so that's why we've always been connected so well. And so Mark's going to be here, but we actually have his wife, which is Joni, and she's remarkable. Yeah. If you don't know, maybe that she, Channel 2, they had a place where the most remarkable woman in St. Louis. And she got voted in as the most remarkable woman in St. Louis, which we already knew. And of course, every time... And if you ever watch the video, you've never seen someone get Jesus in there so many times during those interviews. And always saying over and over again, the most remarkable woman are these women that I'm around at Oasis every time. And so I know it was kind of embarrassing to her, but she knew right away, oh, this gives a chance for more people to know about what's happening here. And so that was so exciting. So we knew you're remarkable. And we knew that Mark was somewhat remarkable. So we just love you guys. You've always been a part, and I'm so glad you finally got off the truck. I remember when we first started meeting, that's my goal. My prayer was get Mark off the truck from delivering things. And so come on up, and we're gonna have Jeff, would you mind coming up as well? And we just wanna pray over you just a little bit before you get started, and we'll leave it up to Mark to go from there. We love you guys. So you guys stand right here. Let's just pray with me, and let's just do a little focus. These guys are giving, and let's just pray God's blessing on what's going on. I mean, this is how God works. He stirs this little thing in you. You say yes to this step, and pretty soon God does these amazing things that you couldn't imagine could take place. And so we just want to just say, God, right now, we just welcome you.
Yeah, Lord, we want to lift Mark and Joni up to you, God, and just ask that you continue to give them strength and encouragement and boldness in their mission, Lord, and bring people into that and just have your hands on that, continue to have your hands on that, God. And we thank you so much for them and their faith and their belief and trust in you, and the limbs they'll step out on for you. And we just ask that you continue to drive that and give them the support needed to keep that strong, God.
We just thank you for their obedience and how they just said yes to you from the very beginning, and your obedience just took you to the next place. And it hasn't changed a bit. The faith has to be there for who's going to replace you guys. You are getting a little old, you know. And so we... Yeah, not Joni, yeah. But I'm just saying is there's a lot ahead, right? And it's just started. And we want Oasis to go to the next level, to the next level. So God, we pray that blessing on them. We pray that you'll give them wisdom on just how do they keep handing it off to more and more people. Even maybe some people here that will be taking on things. Maybe there's some people that you'll start stirring even online, that you'll be a part of taking some of the load and transitioning. So God, we just say we thank you for that. And we know that this will be their ministry the rest of their life. But God, just find their sweet spot and let them show them what this place is right now. You know, a verse that came to my mind when I was praying for you guys is, and may you both know his love and surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do unmeasurably more than all we may ask or imagine, according to his power that is his work within us, to his glory to be the church, and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations forever and ever. And so we just pray that over you. It started that way more than you could possibly ask or imagine, and God has even more. And so God, we thank you for that. So continue to provide the church with the resources, equipping and releasing the church into caring for the people you care about, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Amen. Turn it over to you, Mark.
Thank you, Dave. Bless you. Doesn't Joni look good today? Wow. Well, this is the shortest podium I've ever seen. Thank you, Jesus. I love your church. I love you. I love that you're relaxed. You're not religious. I was gonna check. Oh, I'm good. Check myself. Okay. Otherwise, you all will be saying, okay. Every time I see that video, it was from the Thread. You know the Thread, those guys? They did that. They just showed up one day. We forgot they were coming. So all of that was just random us, right? It just pours out. And so you saw what we do when new refugee people come to St. Louis. We just want to love them with the love of Jesus. We just want to say, we love you. We care about you. We really do. We have some friends here that from Ivory Coast and Congo and Iraq, they're our family. They're family. Everybody that we know that comes through Oasis, they become family. And so we've had over 50 nations come through Oasis since 2006. And everywhere we go, there's always somebody in the church will come up to us and say, hey, I've always had missions in my heart to go to foreign countries, you know. And they say, but I'm afraid to fly. And I go, boy, do we have good news for you today. We had a preacher come to our church, and I was associate pastor right over here at Destiny Church. It was Abundant Life Church. Still in that church, still leaders in the church, and 18 years, whatever. And somebody came to our church one day, and all I heard was, how many unbelievers do you know? And I'm sitting there going, well, I've been the children's pastor, youth pastor, counseling pastor, missions pastor, blah, blah, blah. All the people I know are pretty much Christian, although I did lead a few people to the Lord in counseling or whatever. And so today, when that guy said that, it changed my life. And then I became the chaplain for the Town and Country Police Department for about 10 years. And rode with the police every day, and just to get out of the church, right? We've got to
that we are the church, but we got to get out of the building to meet people. And so today I'm going to ask you a question. Hopefully it'll rock your world. How many refugees do you know? How many refugees do you know? Why? Because God is doing something in our city. And so I want to read just a little thing from this book. It's called No Longer Strangers. I'm not even finished with it, and it's already messing me up. And my daughter gives me these books. Jessica, she was in YWAM, and so she reads books all the time about missions, and so she goes, I think this was for my birthday or something like that. So I'm just reading the introduction. I haven't even gotten to most of it. It goes, so it says, we are in the midst of the largest mass migration in human history. According to the UNHCR, United Nations High Commission for Refugees, there are 70.8 million forcibly displaced peoples in the world. To put this into perspective, this means we currently live in a world where nearly one person is forcibly displaced every 2 seconds as a result of conflict or persecution. If we believe in the authority of the Bible and the sovereignty of a God who moves the families of the earth, the questions for the believer are, if you take notes, this is a good time. 3 questions. 1, what is God up to? What's he doing? 2, how can I be a part of it? If God's doing something, I want to join him. Anybody ever say amen in this church?
Amen.
All right. 3, how can I equip myself to respond in a godly and faithful way to suffering and displaced peoples? And so, Oasis is about helping us, the church, together reach out and pray and consider some of the related issues of those questions. What's God doing? How can I get join? How do I equip myself? How am I going to better myself to be able to reach out to these people that God is literally sending to us? Our hope and prayer are that Oasis, I added Oasis in there, it's not in there. Our hope and prayer is that Oasis will bring us closer together as Christians in our understanding of the shape of God's mission in our tumultuous world and the ways in which we can participate in it. There's another opportunity for amen. Okay, so we have scripture all over the place in the Bible. Revelation 5:9 is my go-to thing where it says, he was slain, Jesus was slain, and with his blood he purchased men for God from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, which would pretty much be everybody, right? So he already paid the price. So that in the end of Mark and the end of Matthew, we have the Great Commission to go into all the world. And you know, God is so gracious. Sometimes he sends the world to us, which he is doing. So when we saw that, we heard it from God. Mark, Johnny, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Refugees were coming to St. Louis. We visited them. We walked in their apartment, and there was no furniture. No furniture. Bare hardwood floor. And so, my first whining prayer, God, I need a U-Haul. And then I'm going to tell all my friends, give me your stuff. Because everybody's got stuff, right? And then I go, after we did that, then we needed a place to put the furniture. So my whining prayer was, God, I need a warehouse. And so Joni and I put up our house to buy the building at Oasis so that we could help the refugees. And then because that didn't take enough faith, Joni quit her job. And so we were totally dependent on God to do everything that we do. So every time we see that video, we cry because we couldn't do any of that without the help of God. You know, God did it. You know, so, and He's still doing it. So if God is sending the nations to us, how do we equip ourselves? First of all, I need to say, yeah, I agree. God is sending the nations to us. And do I know any refugees? Do I? If I don't, how am I going to find out? We just prayed this a while ago, and I've really never prayed it before the Lord put it in my heart, because Joni and I have been to a park here in West County, and we saw a lady all in a black burqa, and all you could see was her eyes. Anybody ever seen that? You know, it's a little bit scary, can be. It can be a little intimidating. But because we knew a little bit, I said, hey, Joni, go say hi to the lady. You know, because it wouldn't be proper for me to go up and say, hi, how you doing, whatever. So she went up and said hi. She was just sitting on a park bench by herself. Her husband and kids were playing by the lake. She said hi, and her eyes smiled so much. It was like, you acknowledged me in the world. It's like everybody walks by me, but they don't pay any attention that I'm real, that I'm here. Does anybody care? And so our mission is to love and care. I can love people from a distance, but I need to care about the fact that they're here, and how do I help them? I've just learned this. Yesterday was Juneteenth. That's just a weird name. I just don't understand all that, but I do understand the reason for it. But since I've become a little more understanding about different cultures, now I've begun to reach out to the African American people here in St. Louis, and I try to reach out and say, have you been abused today? Because a lot of African American people wake up every morning wondering if they're going to be pulled over. Like my friend Christian, he's from Congo. He was driving down the street one day, going to work early in the morning, because he's a worker. This guy wants to work all the time. He's on his way to work, and the police pulled him over, and I'm sorry, he got roughed up, and he wasn't doing anything wrong. And it's like, he called me after that, crying. It's like, we have a lot of people, because I'm old, they call me dad, they call me father. And so I said, man, I'm sorry, why didn't you call me while they were doing all that? You know, of course, the police wouldn't want them to do that. And we are totally supportive of the police. Not everybody does that, right? But it happens to African-American black people here in St. Louis. If it happened once, that's way too many times. But how would you like to wake up every day? And we've had Muslim women walk down the street and somebody say, why don't you just go home? And so what we try to do is love people that a lot of people don't love. They don't even want them here. So 70.8 million forcibly displaced. Get that in our mind. Forcibly displaced. Somebody doesn't like a group of people, so they're being forcibly displaced. So we have a friend from Syria who he and his three children and his wife got on one of those rubber rafts going from Turkey to Lesbos, Greece, in the night, because they're trying to get out of Turkey and go to a better place, they hope. Out in the middle of the sea there, the motor stopped. And all these people from Syria jammed on this rubber raft, water splashing, kids crying in the middle of the dark, and they just stopped. His little son, who is 8 years old, had a vision of Jesus in the middle of the night sky. Come and say, don't be afraid. I'm going to take care of you. And it's like he saw it, and then he said it. And all the people quieted down, and in just a few minutes, the Coast Guard came and saved them. We have a couple from Burma that they had to escape because they were having, was it a birthday party or something? A graduation party in their home. And the police came and said, if you're not supposed to do this, you're not supposed to gather together. So, and the father had already left for Malaysia. Wasn't it Malaysia? Got a lot of different stories. So they, the next day, she, with her little boy, had to run through the jungle, hide, running most of the time at night. Then she literally got into the trunk of a car with her little boy to escape Burma. We have another friend that has, we have Iraqi people, we have Afghan people that were, they chose to work with the American soldiers. They made a choice. And because they did, sometimes their children were kidnapped, sometimes they were beaten, sometimes they were literally killed. Some of those people are here today. Some of those people are here in St. Louis, and some of them still have bullets in their bodies. We had a friend from Eritrea, a lady came to St. Louis. She found out she had cancer. A lot of people come with stress and cancer and all kinds of things that happen to them. And she died. She was our very close friend. We were family to her. And when they had the funeral, we found out She was a soldier. How many years was she? Do you remember? 2 years? She, woman in the army, and she still had bullets in her body. And so, what do we do? How do we equip ourselves? Well, we equip ourselves with the love of Jesus, man. You know, we just want to bring the genuine love of Jesus. We're not trying to coerce anybody. We're not trying to Bible thump people. We are genuinely there to love and welcome people to our city and to the United States. And so how do we do that? We do baby showers. I generally don't go to any baby showers. I did go to one not too long ago. That'll probably be the last one, I hope. But we realized women that are going to have a baby, they don't have family. They don't have any sisters or cousins or anybody around them when they're in pain, when they can't speak English, when nobody knows them. They're all alone trying to have a baby. So we're trying to change that. We're trying to get churches. Again, we're trying to connect the church to all these refugee families, and how we do that is through the Good Neighbor Ministry. And so I just happen to have a Oasis Good Neighbor brochure in my pocket. Can you believe that? Anyway, right on the back is the, you can connect online to become a good neighbor. You know, so we just want you to make the connection. People need to know I'm not alone. Can you imagine trying to figure out the U.S. government on your own? I don't even want to go to the DMV. You know, so it's our opportunity. If you want to go to around the world, just come to Oasis and we'll send you to different people's homes. We have over 900 families that we're connected with right now in our database. And so there's a lot of opportunities. But what you do as a good neighbor, you commit to going and visiting a refugee family that we will connect you with, and visit them at minimum one time a month. And then let us know how things are going, because a lot of times we can't be at every family, go visit every family. But if you would, and then you let us know, hey, I was just at their house, and you know what? They don't even have an air conditioner. By the way, I have a tithe from an Assyrian family. Remember Jonah? He went to Nineveh and he preached to the Assyrians. My friend is an Assyrian from Nineveh. And you know what he did? I have a tithe envelope over here. He goes, whatever church you're going to, would you give him my tithe? Because he couldn't make it. He just called me a while ago and said his air conditioner just broke. So here's another opportunity. So when we love the people and give them the things that they need, and you become the gift. Amen? You become the gift. And so I want to pray with you today about this. God, do I know a refugee? Because one of the biggest mosques over here on Manchester, there's a lot of people coming to St. Louis, we have an opportunity every time we go to Schnucks or wherever it is to reach out with a smile and say, welcome. God, I pray that you would touch our hearts today, touch the heart of the church to be able to welcome refugee families that have lost everything. They have been through trauma. They have post-traumatic stress. And to have a friend is the greatest part of healing they could ever receive. Use us, Father. Would you use us? Would you use the church? Would you use Vineyard Church? Would you use the body of Christ to reach out to the world right here in St. Louis? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.